And it is Friday morning, time to check in with our Blue Jean film critic, Chris Bellini. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Michelle. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. So this is fun. We get to talk about Hellboy, which I really, really liked the Guillermo del Toro movies. And
so you're excited then?
Well, I'm holding back a little bit because I love those so much, and I'm worried that this is not going to live up to that.
Well, it is a little different, of course. Ron Perlman is not back. We don't have Guillermo in there. This time around, we have David Harbour. He's the Hellboy this time. And I basically, for people who don't know who Hellboy is, he's a half-demon superhero, kind of caught between the human and supernatural worlds. This time around, an ancient sorceress called the Blood Queen, played by Mila Jovovich, she's going to show up and she's going to plan to annihilate the world. Of course, who's going to step up to stop her? Hellboy. Give you a little feeling what we're looking at here. Here's a scene from the film. Hellboy's talking to his father. You're going to get the sense here that the Blood Queen is not the only monster that he's going to come up against.
Do you recall the Osiris Club?
Oh, yeah. Strip joint in Jersey.
Now, the other one, the British Occult Society, formed in 1866 by the ranking members of the Heliopic Brotherhood of Ra.
Ra? I met Ra once in the underworld. He's a close talker.
Well, like us, they fight against the forces of darkness, and our organizations have a long-standing relationship. They're old friends of mine, and they've requested your assistance with a giant problem.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Giants.
There's some giants here. That's Ian McShane, by the way, if you recognize the voice.
Oh, for sure.
How couldn't you?
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing about this. I got to tell you, and I'm kind of with you in a way, I'm not a big Hellboy fan. I did enjoy the Guillermo del Toro films. So, of course, you know, recently when they've been rebooting stuff, they've been kind of up in the ante. They've been changing it up. So I thought they'd mix this up and kind of give the franchise a new shine. For me, at least, personally, that wasn't the case. Now, David Harbour, he did a good job, right? He did a solid job. He keeps you interested because you can see that kind of banter. It's kind of fun and it's amusing. It does wear a little thin, but he didn't do enough to pull this film out and make it stand out. I mean, there are a couple things going on for me. And maybe it's just me. Like when I was watching the makeup and the glove, at times it kind of looked fake. And when you see that kind of is a little bit distracting.
Mm-hmm.
The story, pretty straightforward, you know. And this kind of thing, sometimes you're looking for twists and turns. Didn't feel like they gave me those. So it was just like, okay, just kind of a paint-by-numbers kind of thing. And then some personal things. You know, there are a lot of characters and a lot of conflicts in this story. And you don't know a lot about them. So the filmmakers like to use flashbacks. What I think, they work. Flashbacks work, right? But they, like, use flashbacks so much. Every time they needed to give you detail about somebody or about something, they went to a flashback, And, of course, yeah, it's informative, but, you know, it got a little too distracting as well, kind of took you away from the you know, the pace of the film.
Right.
And then some of the mystery, you know, they kind of gave you everything you needed to know. And I don't know, do you like the violent films, Michelle?
Not gore for itself, no. I prefer more PG-13 versions of that.
I'm not adverse to violence, and this is a violent, very violent film. And like I said, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think in this case, man, and maybe somebody can check me, I thought it was overused, it was over the top. And then in that case, that even kind of got repetitive. And I kind of felt like there wasn't any purpose to the violence except to be graphic.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't really add anything to the film either. So I think you got it. I was a little disappointed with this film. Can't really say I'd get behind it. Maybe you stream it. I will say, though, there were some Hellboy fans there. Of course, I always want to get the fan base reaction. They seem very pleased. They seem to enjoy it. So, of course, I always say, if you're a fan, you love that, go there. I think you're going to find enough to enjoy it. But for everybody else, I think you may want to just keep on looking down the listings this time.
Yeah, and that's something that I've seen in some other reviews as well, saying that this version of the Hellboy just doesn't have the heart that the one Guillermo del Toro did. And that also the actor, Ron Perlman, is so much more used to acting in latex that he knows how to do it. And it's not an easy thing to be able to do, to really get your emotion through all of that extra makeup.
Tough. Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's a completely different, you know, layer to your performance.
Exactly. Literal layers to your performance, right?
There you go. Right.
Can you tell us about what is new streaming this week?
I'm glad to talk about this because, you know, Netflix has been really up in their game. There's a movie called The Highwaymen starring Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner. And basically, you know, we all know Bonnie and Clyde. We've known the story. We got the Warren Beatty, the Faye Dunaway movie. Well, this is sort of the flip side of it. It's based on the true story of the two officers that were actually ultimately the ones that tracked them down and killed them.
Mm.
So that itself was interesting. You put Costner and Harrelson in a car for most of the movie. You're going to have some good entertainment. I do wish, though, that some of the backstories of these guys, since we've been talking about backstories, they touched upon them toward the end, and you kind of get a little insight on where these guys came from and, you know, how they reacted to being these kind of people. But I really wish they would have gave you some more, because the movie kind of is more of like a chronological telling of they went here, they missed him, they went here, they found this clue, which is interesting. Don't get me wrong, it was interesting. I was just hoping that they'd amp it up a bit, but definitely worth a watch.
That's cool.
For Costner and Harrelson alone, and the true story aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
I'm in. So I think a lot of people are going to enjoy that one.
That is fun. You'll laugh. I just signed up for Hulu this week.
Well,
this is my first streaming. Very fun. Awesome. Well, that sounds fun. Anything else on streaming that we should keep an eye out for?
Well, you know, some of the things are coming up. I think I mentioned a few other that, I'm thinking back on it, that movie Triple Frontier with Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac really kind of stuck with me after I talked about it a little while ago. Mm-hmm. It was something to watch, but, you know, kind of really thinking about it again and even watching a scene or two again, I'd say maybe put that on your list.
Okay.
And as far as some of the other stuff, I'm just excited. You know, I'm waiting for the Scorsese film with Pacino, De Niro, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel. The list goes on. That's coming out in a few months in fall. It's called The Irishman. So that's the one to really kind of put on your calendar and get excited about.
Oh, that'll be great. Thank you so much, Chris.
You betcha. Have a good one.
You too. That is Chris Bellini, our Blue Jean film critic here.